I'd like to call the November 9th meeting of the Recreation Commission to order. Start with roll call.
Okay, Bill Ray.
Here.
Yvonne Cruz is excused. Ari Bethea is excused. David Gibbous is excused. Simon Ponder.
Here.
Tanya Walker.
Here.
Stephanie Mahoney.
Here.
We have a quorum. So we'll open the meeting. Start the meeting with consideration of minutes from the October 12th meeting.
There were none
because we didn't have a meeting.
That was a meeting.
Yes.
Meeting of the mind.
Project two.
Yeah. Yes, we don't have any meetings. We don't have any minutes to approve. As there's no minutes to approve, we'll take no action on that. Moving on to item number three.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
You have minutes to approve.
It was
It was the Project October 12th minutes, because you took action at that meeting. You all accepted the August 10th minutes, and then we did a project tour. We did it on the bus. Remember, Irie made the motion? Oh, you weren't there?
Nope, I wasn't there. And so I'm looking for minutes that are in the agenda that we have in our packet. Oh,
they're right here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You don't have them?
No.
It's page 2. Yeah, they're just real slim. It's right there.
Oh, yeah. The October 12th meeting. Okay, yeah. Yes, we do have minutes for the October 12th meeting. And if there's no comments on the meeting, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
One of y'all has to make a motion.
I motion to approve.
Motion, do I have a second?
I second.
Made and seconded. All those in favor of approving minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries. Now, moving on then to public comment. Do we have any members of the public wishing to make comment for the good and consideration of the realm? No public comment. Do we have any visitors? No visitors. Unfinished business. Moving right along, unfinished business, new business. Come on, Bill, jump in.
No.
Okay, as we have no new business, we'll move right into staff reports.
That's where it all happens, under that staff report.
There we go. I knew we'd have comments there. There was a reason for us coming.
I'll give a project update. A lot of our projects got stalled due to Irma. So, and Bill will give a report on some of his efforts in that regard, but we are still moving forward with the Fort King National Historic Landmark rebuilding the fort, trying to get it ready for the grand opening, which will happen the first weekend of December. And then we are finishing up the one set of the restrooms at the Fort King Tennis Center. And then now they'll start construction of the other set. So I think they did the women's and now they'll do the men's. The Ocala Golf Club restrooms are underway. They did have the pre-construction meeting on the Discovery Center renovations, which is an interior renovation to address some electrical and kitchen. And does that cover it in terms of projects? Most of it. Heritage Nature Conservancies has been pretty much on hold because the storm took down so many trees that Bill has needed to, and the guidelines under which we can remove those trees and how we're removing them, it's been a lot. So we're just now getting those out of there. We have a new playground going in. You all saw it when we did the project tour. We stopped at where the DRA is, the new playground going there. That playground is it complete?
It is complete. I'm gonna go by and make sure the signs were removed. It was mulched, fiber was put in, ramp was put in. Everything should be complete on it. And they were to have the signs off of it yesterday, but it should be good to go.
I think that's the bulk of it in terms of projects.
Are we still running the community garden on that. We got a group from St. Augustine that apparently, I mean, we keep getting success. For everyone who doesn't know, we started, what was it? When we first started with the concept of the community garden 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Kind of took hold. In the meantime of that, it's been a success. It's been growing. But we've got a lot of other communities around the state that, for whatever reason, are recognizing it as a success, specifically a group from St. Augustine, West St. Augustine, CRA, Minority Neighborhood, has been trying to get theirs up and running and everything else like that. And I've volunteered us that if they need to come down, see how we do it, meet with our lessons learned, how we would do it differently if we were going to start from scratch.
Okay, but John's the one that manages that, so okay. If they want to come, they can.
Quick update, I think we're up to 72 or 75 plots. I forget exactly. We have three rows split, two sides. We're actually having our fall planting, again, we call it the replant, on Saturday morning, which was postponed from a little storm we had in September. So that's happening, and that's, we call it, it's a work day, essentially, ask the volunteers, well, the people who purchase a plot of the garden, any volunteers who come out, it's twofold. One is community work within the garden, for example, weeding a path, or helping with, do some community work in the garden. And then it's typically, seasonally, the best time to plant the next season of plants. One of our volunteers is quite knowledgeable about local plants and what to plant seasonally, so she helps. She normally does some sort of education session to help people learn if they don't know. So that's happening. We are, I'd say, middle part of the irrigation project. So we're typically, irrigation was hose bib, hose, good luck. But we're actually installing irrigation throughout, so it would help, because I think one of the issues is if you didn't get out there in the summer months in Florida to water things, your chances were slimmer. So we're actually installing irrigation, which was paid for by the state, which is one of our community partners, to help maintain an adequate irrigation level. But if you want to plan on Saturday, take a peek. We'll be there from 10 to 2. Or I'm sorry, 10 to noon. But it's one of those where we're available, and I think it's successful. And there's some turnover. People interested, then they're not. But then someone else normally comes to replace them.
I'm hearing about it from Jungle Drums on the street, and they knew that I was involved with the visioning and the comp plan, and then invariably he's coming back. Bill, we want you to tell us about all these great things about your gardening that's been such a success in the city of Ocala that we've heard about. And I'm like, it's not me. But we can get the people together to talk about it. Okay. Parks and Operations?
As Kathy mentioned, there's still a lot of projects. A lot of them are on hold due to the storm. Agencies delayed. It's just half the forest has fallen in. We've had to delay the fencing there. That'll be coming soon, as I noticed our contractor was in there clearing some more debris out today. Our goal is to try to get all the debris out of all the parks that are still remaining with some debris in them, which is a total of about 10, completed by the 26th, 27th.
End of the month.
Yeah, just shy of the end of the month. So. We're working on that, and then Fort King is still progressing. The fort's at about 85-90% completion. We're doing some finishing touches today on dirt and prepping the site for seeding tomorrow on the inside of the fort, and working a number of different educational programs there. We did have at Fort King, last time we met, we talked about our big event coming up, which was the Halloween Trail. At the time, highly successful, over 1,800 people at the event. It was great. We more than doubled our numbers, almost tripled our numbers from last year. And that was great. Free, trick-or-treat, safe trail, haunted trail, more of a traditional type Halloween from back in the 70s. And it was a lot of fun. People loved it. We had the trail running from 5 to 9 and then the movie running. In conjunction with that, we showed Beetlejuice outside. At 9 o'clock, when we were shutting the trail down, we still had busloads of people coming. So we extended that. For the movie, we had a couple hundred. How many would you say out there in the movie? I was still on the trail, working the trail.
I didn't even count.
But a few hundred watching the movie.
Will there be a demand next year for, you know, more volunteers and outreach and stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
More
scary?
More that, more sponsorship. There'll be a demand for more sponsorship. We're realizing how big this event's getting. Cost recovery, exceeded it this year, but it's going to be bigger next year. We're going to need more candy, more people, more decorations. And we've partnered up with the last 2 years with the Halloween store. Spirit of Halloween store over there at Six Gun Territory.
Mm-hmm.
And they supplied us with a pretty good number of decorations and sponsorship materials and a few individuals that gave us cash donations. But people loved it. It's a free event. We're doing everything we can to keep it a free event. So we really want to.
It was a great branding thing for the community.
Absolutely.
We gotten feedback on that, or, you know, some promotion with that with City Council? As far as success and stuff like that?
Not with City Council, no. No, we ran it basically just through our Facebook posts and social media venues that way. Jim Kirk Park, as Kathy mentioned, it should be finished. I'm going to be checking on it this evening. The playground looks spectacular. Totally different from anything we've got currently. It's in the city colors. Last time you guys were there, we didn't have anything in place. It all got set up this past week. And we got the five bar in, everything spread out, the border in. It should be ready to go and open for tomorrow's business. Our goal was to have it open this weekend. A few minor touches left to come in, which is just tree work, but nothing that's affecting the immediate playground area. And some landscaping that we'll do around the site. But the playground should be ready to go. And now we're just gearing up for our Fort King event, which you have a flyer in your packet for it. That's our annual reenactment. Kathy is working, been gracious enough to read half the books on the Seminole Wars history over the last week, which consists of about 20. And we're working on a script and meeting with the Seminole Tribe of Florida, working on vendors, still working on some sponsorship. We got our layouts done, and we're really anxious to get this thing moving. All this week, we have been at Silver River Ocali Days, working with Scott Mitchell, and educating the kids. And then Saturday, we start educating the general public as it opens up to the general public Saturday and Sunday. And myself and Kiefer will be here doing that tomorrow and Saturday as well. Outside of that, that's really about it. Oh, Scott Springs. It's open. It's the cleanest I've ever seen it. It looks the best I've ever seen it. We had a ton of tree work done in there. Aside from all the storm debris that was down, it's so hard to get these guys right now with all the storm work still going to be going for another 2 months easily. That I took advantage of having them in there for the storm cleanup and had them do the rest of the stuff and bill it out to me separately from the storm debris. But it looks really, really good. The pavilion's in place. It's operational. The new pavilion there from Junior League, and we just got great reviews on it. We opened it up last Saturday for Ocala Style Rocks program that they had with us, and that was highly successful. Had over 100 kids there for that, and it was basically looking for the little painted rocks. Mm-hmm. They had a bunch of them, and they hit them all throughout the park. So it's looking really, really good.
Just curious, from the rainfall and everything else like that, did you see
the spring?
Yeah,
it's full.
Great.
Yeah, have you been out there?
No.
Oh, it's full.
Everything.
It's the fullest I've ever seen.
I've been around every place else in South Florida, and everything is full.
It's probably that high from the dock. It's probably about a foot from the dock.
Yeah, great. Every time we have a hurricane or two, and fills it.
It'll look good for a couple of months, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And it's going to dwindle down.
804, it was like all the way over the dock.
I bet it is.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
It flooded it all the way, came all the way.
Yeah, it's about a foot below the dock, maybe. Mm-hmm. So if you stepped off, you'd be in 3 foot.
Swimming.
3-4 foot of water.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
It looks so different when it's full of water.
Oh, yeah, when you have a dry year. It goes back down, and then just as easy as you
dry, I've never
it turns
seen it like
a
that.
Wet fall, a wet spring, time. Wet winter, wet spring.
Yeah.
And it's, like you said, Julie's back up again.
Yeah,
it fluctuates. And then, okay. Moves on to recreation.
So, the minibus, the air conditioning has been fixed. Our fleet department had probably several stern conversations with the manufacturer. To this date, the bus hasn't even had an oil change, so it's not a lot of mileage. But I know we ran the bus as part of the Fort King Haunted Trail, and the air was working for way more than 15 minutes. Along with that, several of the recreation staff supervisors are in the final stages of obtaining their CDLs. To drive the minibus as well. Part of that is just routine programs and events. You know, the seniors going to, they have a program called Snacks and Facts where they go to a local venue, learn about it, have a sponsored lunch. You know, with events like Fort King, we're gonna use it at Light Up, as well as just some community outreach where we could, let's say, go to an area, pick up youth from a community or a different area, bring them back to the center. So, here very shortly, this next season, the minibus will probably get involved in a little more programming aspect than just being used for the larger event. Staff, since probably the last meeting, we filled the vacant recreation supervisor position. Brian Davis has filled the position, which was at E.D. Krosky, vacated by Kelsey Mears. We have a couple part-time rec aid positions that are currently posted, just staff turnover, and then we'll hopefully get those filled here in the next month or so. And that should get us, at least for year-round staff, close to full staffing. We had a fish fry fundraiser last month. Which was as a fundraiser for at the adult services, which in combination with one of our movie events, that was quite successful. Something new for Bridget to try. It was rather small scale, but we kind of started small to see how it would work.
And small scale is in like how many people?
I think she did 200 meals, 225, somewhere around that.
Yeah,
it was somewhere around. So it was a fish dinner meal. Which went to support the Senior Fishing Derby, which we had earlier this week. And then just, you know, to kind of offset, do some cost recovery. This past week, I obtained my certified pool operator, which allows me to do some pool operations, chemical tests, keep things on the up and up, to help Carla in managing some of the pools and the splash pad. I've learned splash pads are special. Mm-hmm. Take that however you want. and one of the ongoing projects that we have this upcoming year is a feasibility study for a community recreation center. So it's a planning process where we're looking to find out what the needs are, you know, and for the city, but we're kind of focusing on West Ocala. Get the name of the parcel.
The charcoal plant.
Yeah, Royal Oaks property. That section, you know, there's some discussions on whether the city can use it, how we can use it. But we're looking at that for, I guess the idea for the study is to find out what type of recreation facility would best serve that side of town. You know, whether that would supplement what we have. We're kind of guessing it would be more to replace, so it'd be more of a multi-purpose built for recreation, because right now we have a couple senior centers which could use some TLC or we're outgrowing our two youth centers, which once again you could use some areas. And we just know we want to grow some programs, so we're looking to see if through that study what was the best use and best what the city actually needs.
Let me ask you, has there been any discussion about using a part of it for like a library?
Yes.
Has it? That's number one usage right there. They need that most of all. For more reasons than one.
In doing that with the the feasibility, say with starting with Parks and Rec and now the library and everything, if we, as I'm assuming that somebody in the planning department has looked at the the property, the extent, the boundaries of what we're looking at, and there's some thought going into a master plan for it, or
For the property itself, because the property is much larger than we would need for a community center. So there's other uses would go on that property. The feasibility study for the center itself, we're getting ready. We're working on the LOI that'll go out to hire the consultants. So and then there'll be a public process to determine what exactly will go in that facility, what the needs are. And to determine what that footprint looks like, and then that'll feed into the master plan.
Who's driving the whole master plan? Is that Ty and P?
Probably Ty's group. Okay. I would guess. They're going to draft the LOI for the feasibility study and help us work through that process as well.
You think that's going to be, do we or whoever, does somebody envision that the rec center would be the the center focal point of the whole usage, or is there another that someone else, some other department is talking about?
I think part of that will get driven through the community. I imagine there'll be a public meeting process for that too. I've heard talks of residential and small commercial, so like a if you're living there, you have some of the services available in the area to serve you. And from the Vision 2035 plan, that's kind of how they're wanting to develop new communities that develop within the city. So I don't know how far they've gotten with all of that. I think what they're still trying to work through right now is finalizing who would pay for cleanup of that site, and whether the city even purchases it. But last I heard, it looked like that would move forward. I want to say DEP stepped in and said that they would help with the cleanup costs, because the city had, when it first all came back, we were like, yeah, we're not going to be able to do this. And then DEP stepped in and said that they would help with it. So I don't know where they are in firming all that up in terms of, putting contracts together and closing.
They're looking at funding it partially out of the CRA and,
Yeah, the rec center itself, the community center, will be one of the CRA priorities. So, you have to list what the CRA priorities
right.
are. And then those are the projects that you have to fund according to that. So health and fitness will be a big push. It'll be one of those community centers that has a fitness center in it. Library was that's always been a part of the conversation.
We'll see as the study progresses. The last thing I have is we are starting our holiday season in about 3 minutes officially. So before I mention that, the one that's starting in 3 minutes, couple brochures in your packet. Stand on the Square, the final 2017 movie series is Elf, which corresponds to Let's Skate Ocala. If you haven't heard about it or know where it is this year, it is right across the street. Here in Tuscarora Park, and our soft opening is happening very soon, in minutes actually. And one of those will be a movie next door in the Oak Grove in December. But Let's Skate Ocala is, we're getting our feet. feet wet tonight with some training with the soft opening, and it'll be officially open this Saturday as part of the Harvest Fest event, which is also here.
So where did all the basketball players move to?
It's sad. They get to play on the ice.
Yeah. Where are they?
No, there's no goal.
I mean,
afternoons, you have quite a few people out
it's
there.
One of the
quite a few of them moved to Jervey.
Jervey's
a pretty busy one, too.
Yeah, Jervey is now.
And this will be the only year we have to do that. They're going to, and we had a conversation with some of them out there when it was going down. They're going to reconstruct that parking lot. We tried to get that done for this year's rink, but they just couldn't get it done in time. So that parking lot by the pavilion that's right there by the rink is going to be reconstructed. It's needed to be reconstructed for some time anyways. And they'll make it to where it's flat enough that in the future that will be the permanent home of the ice rink. So Julie's got an idea of a hoop it up Ocala event at the end of the ice rink so that we can give them their
just
basketball
kinda thank
courts
them
back.
And, you know, for their patience and, you know, do giveaways and just things like that. Thank them for letting us live and all that, for taking away their basketball courts for this long. So, I mean, you know, we got phone calls and all, but it wasn't as bad as I anticipated.
When you explained it, everyone was pretty gracious about it.
I would have expected quite a bit of pushback from the number of people that play out there every week.
Every day.
I mean, we always had, we had planned days, but that was 20 years ago, but we had planned days, you know. Every Tuesday and Thursday night at 7, it's our time.
Yep. So they were good about it. Julie will make it right.
The shame. But, we owe them, so.
Cultural Arts and Sciences.
We have a lot going on. We have a lot of new staff too. We have Ashley Justiniano, who was previously working at the Discovery Center and at the Appleton Museum. She has come over as our cultural arts coordinator. For those of you who met Alex Martello when she was here, she took her spot. And Alex is actually working for Universal down in Orlando now, so she's really excited. Yeah, so she's on their Beijing project. And then we have, I don't know if I can say this.
Sure.
Amy Castelletto, who is our marketing and promotions manager here in Parks, is going to come over to Cultural Arts and be a Cultural Arts supervisor. She'll be overseeing our new concert series, Harvest Fest, Love at Amp if we get it, the Beer Fest, those types of things, and then helping us also with marketing and promotions over there. We are hosting interviews next week for a part-time leader position over at Discovery Center. And then we will be fully staffed back up as soon as Kate returns from her FMLA. We hosted Applaud the Arts in partnership with the Oregon Cultural Alliance on late September this year. They had such a great response for that event that they're going to have it there again next year. We had over 400 people up in the new exhibit space that most of them had never been up there, so it was really fantastic for them to see that. Then Harvest Fest is Saturday.
Yay!
As John mentioned, so that's ours too. Full day of concerts from 1 to 9 p.m. The headliners are the Georgia Satellites and Aaron Tippin. The sculptures in Tuscaloosa Park and the Art Park have been selected by the jury. We're notifying the artists who were selected, and they will go up in February. I gave a presentation at council night before last, about the Art Park performances that are coming up. And I have a draft flyer, so you can kind of see who is coming in January. It will be Lucky Diaz and the Family Jam Band. They're a children's music performance. They have won 3 Grammys, 2 Emmys. They're on the ballot for another Grammy, and they were voted number 1 children's album of the year. And they sing both in English and Spanish, so we'll see what that performance brings out. And that will be in conjunction with the closing of the Super Kids Save the World exhibit at Discovery Center. And then in February, we have McLeet, which I don't have a flyer yet because we're still working on all that. She'll be here for the VIP sculpture reception. She is an Ethiopian jazz musician and composer, and she will be performing at the VIP reception and then giving a lecture, a TED Senior Fellow lecture, the day after on arts and culture. And then in March for the public opening, we have Audrey Spillman, who just finished her first full-length film with Stephen Dorff and Chris Christopherson. And she'll be the musical entertainment for that. Sorry. And then in April, we have a group called Jared Stephen Doyle that does improv music with videography and photo collage behind them when they perform. So that'll be in the evening. Speaking of Levitt, we're in process, the voting process for Levitt. We need everybody to vote. Tell everybody to vote so we can get Levitt again. You can vote from every email that you have. So if you have multiple emails, you can vote multiple times.
Use them all.
And people out of state can vote too. So that's right. So if we end up getting the Levitt series, we'll be partnering with local folks to participate on that committee to help us select what kind of music to have a more input. And I know you went to all of them last year, so I plugged your name and you'll be getting an email to come help us. Rotary Discovery Fest, we're in the midst of figuring all of that stuff out, working with Rotary to see what that looks like this year, partnering with Wind FM and K-Country on helping us find music for that event. We met actually this morning with the Beer Fest team for the Beer and Wine Fest that happens downtown, and they're full speed ahead on that project. The MAX renovations to the train station, we should be having the bids go out probably the end of December, first part of January. So we have almost have fully constructed architectural plans, and we're moving forward with that. And the cultural arts planning consultant, the agreement for that will go to council the first city council meeting of December for the consultant to come on board to start that planning process. Oh, that's our other new employee. We have full-time temporary liaison for the plan that will start next week. And his name is Christian Dumais. And he's from the Miami area, but has family here in Ocala and has an urban planning background. I think that's all I have.
Light up Ocala next weekend. Can you believe it? Did you all get your invitations to the VIP reception?
Yes.
We'll see you all there.
Oh, and after you go to the ice skating rink when you leave here, tonight we also have an opening at City Hall, the Stebbleton exhibit, and the art heist is going on at the train station for Max. So if you want to make a night of it,
skating,
all kinds of things.
Art heist, City Hall. Hit them all.
Make the circle.
Okay. Harvest Fest Saturday, then you get a break.
For Sunday.
Yeah, for a few days, light up Ocala.
Okay, any additional comments by board members?
The canvas at the splash pad at Lillian Bryant. Yeah.
Well, Facilities is working with the manufacturer. It's not as simple as the rest of these to put up. There's a tension cable, and that has to be set appropriately by the manufacturer standards, or we lose our warranty. So they're trying to coordinate with the manufacturer to come in and do
it. I had an update from her. I feel
the
like
ones that aren't under warranty, they just figured out some way.
I thought maybe it got damaged. You know,
no, we took them off so they wouldn't, but yeah. it's a little, evidently there's quite a bit of them that got to go up.
She had given me an update. I can't find it, but I think maybe next week they will be in town. It's
the struggle is real.
The splash pad, the Lillian Bryant playground. I didn't look at Lillian Bryant softball, so I'm not sure about that. And MLK baseball, we're all still down.
So I know that they're working on it. I must have deleted the email.
At Lillenbright? Yeah. Not yet.
Yeah, well, I see it's being rented every weekend, but there's still no power. So already got the signs up for this weekend.
We got it in at MLK?
We got it in at MLK, yeah. Because we were able to fund that separately. But he's talking about power to the Lillian Bryant Pavilion.
Sunshades will be, they'll start Monday, November 13th. To put those back up.
Is there is it just scheduling or a hold up or something with the getting power to the Lillian Bryant Pavilion?
It was funding driven this past time because we were in another fiscal year.
Okay.
And we were able to get the funding elsewhere for security reasons, so we were able to get power into there. Not long after Simon asked for MLK. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then this year we should be able to fund the power to go into that one since the pole's right there.
If there's no additional comments, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Let's do it.
That sounds
like motion made and seconded.
Second.
Close the meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign. Good meeting.
That's Simon's rules for you right there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that other guy. That other guy, he was too formal.